Lesson 2. Outcomes. Explain the role of first responders in initiating protective actions. Initiating protective actions. Protective actions, including notifications, isolation, and scene control, can ensure your own safety and the safety of others. These actions are often taken by the first responders to arrive at a scene, even before an IC has been established or incident management has been implemented. These techniques protect people by separating them from the potential source of harm and preventing the spread of hazardous materials through cross-contamination. When the IC arrives, he or she will conduct a size-up and may revise the protective actions initiated based on his or her observations. Notification and requests for assistance. Predetermined procedures, such as standard operating procedures, SOPs, and the emergency response plan, should define roles in the notification process and methods for communication. For awareness-level personnel, notification may be as simple as dialing 911 to report an incident and request emergency assistance, Figure 25.3. Fixed facility responders may have their own internal procedures to follow, such as calling on the radio for an internal fire brigade or hazmat response team. If criminal or terrorist activity is suspected, personnel should notify law enforcement immediately. Skills associated with making appropriate notifications of a hazardous materials incident are shown in Skill Sheet 25-1. Departmental SOPs usually cover communication methods, both externally and internally, at incidents, whether by radio, cell phone, hand signals, or other methods. Personnel and responders must be able to communicate the need for assistance through their department/organization's communications equipment. Some of these communications might be requests for additional personnel or special equipment, or to notify others at the incident of any apparent hazards. Personnel and responders must be trained to use the communication equipment assigned to them in accordance with policies and procedures. Emergency response plans must ensure that responders understand their role in notification processes and predetermined procedures such as standard operating procedures, SOPs. Notification may include actions such as incident-level identification and public emergency information/notification. It is better to dispatch more resources than necessary in an initial response to ensure appropriate weight of attack to combat incident conditions. Responders should be familiar with the assets available in their jurisdictions. Because hazmat incidents have the potential to overwhelm local resources, responders must know the procedure to request additional assets. This process should be described in local, district, regional, state, and national emergency response plans, as well as in mutual/automatic aid agreements. Notification also involves contacting law enforcement whenever a terrorist or criminal incident is suspected, as well as notifying other agencies, such as Public Works and the local emergency operations center, that an incident has occurred. Procedures will differ depending on the AHJ. Always follow SOPs and emergency plans for notification procedures. In the U.S., the notification process is detailed in the National Response Framework, NRF, and all local, state, and federal emergency response plans must comply with these provisions. While incidents are handled at the lowest geographic, organizational, and jurisdictional level, when local agencies need additional assistance beyond the local level, the Hazmat IC or AHJ may request help. First responders in the U.S. should turn to the Local Emergency Response Plan, LERP, if they need to request outside assistance for an incident, Figure 25.4. Per the NRF, the local response agency should be closely tied with the community's Emergency Operations Center, EOC. If local assets are insufficient to manage the emergency, requests for additional assistance, such as activation of National Guard units, will be made to the state EOC. States may then request federal assistance through the Department of Homeland Security. The proper authorities, local, state, and federal, must be informed that an incident has occurred, even if additional assistance is not required for an incident. The following are resources that may be requested to help at hazmat/WMD incidents in the U.S. or Canada. Weapons of Mass Destruction Civil Support Teams, WMDCST. These teams support civil authorities at domestic chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, or high-yield explosive incident sites by identifying CBRNE agents/substances. Disaster Medical Assistance Teams, DMAT. These are groups of professional and paraprofessional medical personnel, supported by a cadre of logistical and administrative staff, that provide emergency medical care during a disaster or other event, Figure 25.5. Disaster Mortuary Operational Response Teams, MORT. These teams work under the guidance of local authorities and provide technical assistance and personnel to recover, identify, and process deceased victims. National Medical Response Team Weapons of Mass Destruction, NMRT-WMD. These are specialized response forces that provide medical care following a nuclear, biological, and/or chemical incident. National Guard Chemical, Biological, Radiological, Nuclear and High Yield Explosive, CBRNE, Enhanced Response Force Package, CRFP. The SERFs and Civil Support Teams, CSTs, provide a phased capability. The CSTs detect and identify CBRNE agents/substances, assess their effects, advise the local authorities on managing response to attacks, and assist with requests for other forces. The SERFs locate and extract victims from a contaminated environment, perform mass patient/casualty decontamination, and provide treatment as necessary to stabilize patients for evacuation. Urban Search and Rescue, USNR, Task Forces. These highly trained teams provide search and rescue operations in damaged or collapsed structures and stabilization of damaged structures. They can also provide emergency medical care to the injured. Incident Management Teams, IMT. These teams of highly trained, experienced individuals are organized to manage large and/or complex incidents. They provide full logistical support for receiving and distribution centers. Isolation and Scene Control. Isolation involves physically securing and maintaining the emergency scene, scene control, by establishing isolation perimeters or cordons and denying entry to unauthorized persons, Figure 25.6. It also includes preventing contaminated or potentially contaminated individuals, or animals, from leaving the scene in order to stop the spread of hazardous materials. The isolation perimeter or outer cordon, is the boundary established to prevent unauthorized access to and egress from the scene. If an incident is inside a building, personnel posted at entrances can deny entry and exit from the building in order to set the isolation perimeter. If the incident is outdoors, the perimeter might be set at the surrounding intersections with response vehicles or law enforcement officers diverting vehicular traffic and pedestrians, Figure 25.7. Ropes, cones, and barrier tape can also be used. In some cases, a traffic cordon may be established beyond the outer cordon to prevent unauthorized vehicle access while still allowing for pedestrian traffic. The isolation process may continue with evacuation, defending in place, or sheltering in place of people located within protective action zones. The isolation perimeter can be expanded or reduced as needed. For example, when additional resources arrive, the initial isolation perimeter may be expanded to accommodate new apparatus, equipment, and personnel. Law enforcement officers are often tasked to establish and maintain isolation perimeters. The isolation perimeter may be comprised of an inner and outer perimeter. In most cases, the outcomes of an on-site risk assessment determine the initial isolation perimeter established. Once the scene is secure and an isolation perimeter has been established and controlled, awareness level responders are likely not trained to the necessary levels to continue the mitigation of the incident. There is one exception to this general rule. Awareness level responders may be trained to mitigate incidental releases without calling for additional assistance. Skills associated with implementing protective actions at a hazardous materials incident are shown in Skill Sheet 25-2. Once resources have been committed to an incident, it is easier to reduce the isolation perimeter in size than it is to extend it. If resources have arrived and have been tasked at an incident, it may be difficult to disengage and relocate them should the initial perimeter be inadequate. The IC must undertake a risk assessment or size up of the incident in order to determine an appropriate size for the isolation perimeter. To determine the perimeter size, the IC should consult with other on-site agency commanders to ensure that the spatial requirements and tactical objectives can be met. Note, from a risk management perspective, It is better to encompass a larger area that can be reduced in size once incident site conditions have been assessed for risks such as secondary devices, unidentified hazardous materials, and atmospheric monitoring. The isolation perimeter is also used to control both access and egress from the incident site. Unauthorized personnel may be kept out, while witnesses and persons with information about the incident may be directed to a safe location until being interviewed and released. Another important aspect of scene control at HAZMAT/WMD incidents is the establishment of hazard control zones and staging areas, explained in the following sections. Skill Sheet 25-3 provides basic steps for providing scene control and performing various assigned tasks at a hazardous materials incident. Emergency Response Centers. Emergency response centers can provide useful information and guidance to first responders. The ERG provides contact information for emergency response centers in the US, Canada, Mexico, Argentina, Brazil, and Colombia. Contact numbers are provided in the white pages in both the front and the back of the ERG. In the US, several emergency response centers, such as the Chemical Transportation Emergency Center, Chemtrec, are not government operated. Chemtrec was established by the chemical industry as a public service hotline for firefighters, law enforcement responders, and other emergency service responders to obtain information and assistance for emergency incidents involving chemicals and hazardous materials, Figure 25.8. The experts staffing these centers can provide 24-hour assistance to personnel responding to hazmat incidents. Transport Canada operates the Canadian Transport Emergency Center, CANUTEC. This national, bilingual, English and French, advisory center is part of the Transportation of Dangerous Goods Directorate. CANUTEC has a scientific data bank of chemicals manufactured, stored, and transported in Canada and is staffed by professional scientists who specialize in emergency response. Mexico has two emergency response centers. National Center for Communications of the Civil Protection Agency, CENACOM. Emergency Transportation System for the Chemical Industry, CETIC, operated by the National Association of Chemical Industries. Note: CENACOM has phone numbers dedicated to calls originating in Mexico City and its metropolitan area. Do not call these numbers if you are not in that area. Before you contact the Emergency Response Center, collect as much of the following information as safely possible: caller's name, callback telephone number, and fax number. Location and nature of problem, such as spill or fire. Name and identification number of materials involved. Shipper/consignee/point of origin. Carrier name, railcar reporting marks, letters and numbers, or truck number. Container type and size. Quantity of material transported/released. Local conditions, such as weather, terrain, proximity to schools, hospitals, or waterways. Injuries, exposures, current conditions involving spills, leaks, fires, explosions, and vapor clouds. Local emergency services that have been notified the Emergency Response Center will confirm that a chemical emergency exists. Record details electronically and in written form. Provide immediate technical assistance to the caller. Contact the shipper of the material or other experts. Provide the shipper/manufacturer with the caller's name and callback number so that the shipper/manufacturer can deal directly with the party involved.